Then we have in these texts a really important, really interesting little episode. This is the Buddha's memory of what had happened when he was a young boy of maybe 8 or 9. Sitting in the cool shade of a rose apple tree, while my Shakyan father was engaged in work, I spent time, having attained the joy and happiness of the first absorption. He remembers, at this point where he's totally emaciated, he's on the point of death, he remembers an experience of what's called the first absorption. He's sitting under a rose apple tree and he enters spontaneously into this expansive meditative state. I mean, you can experience this if you apply yourself to meditation yourself, so you don't need to look to ancient texts to know what the first dhyana is. One suffuses, fills, soaks, and drenches one's very body with a happiness and joy that comes from seclusion. So there's no part of the body that's untouched. So it's this experience that the mind has quietened down, and this kind of joy arises. It's happiness, it's pleasure, it's joy, and it's very still, very quiet, it's very concentrated. It's what we call the first dhyana. And the whole of the body seems to be filled with this sense of lightness, buoyancy, and aliveness. And the Buddha says, I asked myself why I feared this happiness, because he's turned away from that experience to punish the flesh. But he says it has nothing to do with sense pleasures or unwholesome qualities. Then I decided I would not fear it. So this is an insight. The Buddha glimpsed a dimension of consciousness, which he later expanded as dhyana. That this is the first dhyana, and then there are 4 major dhyanas. After that, it gets a bit more complicated. And it seems that this isn't what he'd experienced with his previous meditation teachers. And I think the reason is that this has nothing to do with theology. In a way, it's nothing to do with religion. When he describes this experience, he describes it quite precisely. You know, one suffuses, fills, soaks one's very body. This is something you can actually experience. You don't have to believe anything to notice it. And all the descriptions of the dhyanas are like that, or they're more poetic images. But they're not theological images. They're not about God or anything like that. And the Buddha says, might this be the path to awakening? And he knew with utter certainty that it was. So I think that the Buddha was discovering this open dimension of consciousness in which the mind could expand and grow and develop and be filled with these qualities of joy and increasing concentration. I actually think that people hadn't been doing that before the Buddha, but we don't really know. And that is a very important part of the Buddha's teaching, the sense that there is more to the mind than we know about. That's part of his vision. And if we're Buddhists or exploring Buddhism, that's what we're coming into contact with. The sense that what we know about consciousness is 1%, 10% of what it can possibly be. And what's more, the Buddha is trusting his mind. He's trusting that there's some kind of natural force within it. And if he goes with the grain, he goes with the flow, dare I say it, it will move him towards wisdom and towards happiness. And this is experience. This is experience in quite a simple way, an innocent way almost, which is untouched by what the Buddha called views, the very strong religious views that were held by all the people around him. And he wanted to find a way to practice that wasn't informed by these views, which fundamentally were born of a kind of insecurity, a desire to make sense of the world. Now, he did have many teachings, and he did develop what he called right view, but he wanted very much to distinguish teachings which were helping one to liberate the mind from those which fundamentally were born of some kind of insecurity.